Welcome to Awareness of the Soul with your host, Vincent Sandy. Today's topic is the 26 qualities of the divine man. This can be found in the Bhagavad Gita on the 16th chapter. Please go there, read them by yourself. And today I'm going to share with you some of my intuitions on that. And probably in sharing with you what Yogananda, you have taught me. What being in the presence of a master who was a direct disciple of Yogananda gave me. So, first of all, let me give you the toll-free number if you want to call. It's 888-815-9756 for U.S. only. Worldwide, I think. 888-815-9756. Or we have two direct lines. That is 001, of course, this is the international call you need to dial in case you want to call, and then it's 530-876-3222. Let me repeat this number again. 001, the international call, 530-876-3222. Or, this is the second line, direct line number 2, 001-530-876-9916. 530-876-9916. Since this is an international internet radio, obviously you can find these numbers on the webpage where you're just listening to this radio right now. Probably they're written down there. So anytime you want to call, I'll be here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all your emails. Please remember to visit my website, which is www.joycelestial.com. And on that website, you will see that I've made some updates. First of all, the first update I made, I created a page for the yoga holidays where I'm teaching. If you go to joycelestial.com and then the menu you will see on the left, yoga holidays. Go there and see how beautiful it is. And if you're welcome to join me in one of these holidays, for many people, according to what they say, these have been the most perfect holidays they ever had in their lives. Therefore, if you want to have something similar, anyway, we're a place where you can absolutely relax. You have plenty of time to relax, to think about yourself, to have fun. At the same time, there is yoga in the morning, yoga in the afternoon, and meditation, and you're going to go deep into yourself. At some point you see something is happening, something is changing. You cannot really explain how the process works because you cannot explain everything. But what I see is everyone who goes there comes away with a smile, with a great deep inner smile. One of those said, thank God I came here. Well, I'm so glad because, to my opinion, don't do anything too special. I mean, I'm just present over there, and I'm just trying to see what is it that I can give to the people who are coming so that they're going to be happy. At the same time, it's not that I'm trying to please anyone, but it's an amazing time you can spend in an amazing island, one of those places that you can see only on the magazines. But anyway, remember that you can also sign up for a free account where you can actually have access to articles, techniques, and also that will expand. It takes time to do everything, but I will promise that will expand. There will be things that I will be sharing with you. It is free. You have to sign up, and you have instant access to all this stuff. So just go there. Then I invite you to, if you believe in astrology, invite you also to visit www.instantastrology.com, and there you can find a quite affordable price some astrology reports, and you can buy more than one, and you can buy them in union with some of my counseling sessions, like obviously astrology counseling sessions over there, but I don't only give astrology counseling session, but you're welcome to just go there and have a look, read my website and see how it is. Well, today, let's start the topic of today. Today is the 26 qualities of the divine man. First of all, who is the divine man? Obviously, the divine man, in its purest expression, is the man who is self-realized. Okay? But is that man who is self-realized. Self-realized means he has realized the pure essence within himself, who is in union with the divine spark that created him within himself, which is already present, already alive. But now, when that man becomes divine, in other words, totally in touch with the divine spark within himself, and only with the divine spark within himself, not with other little filters of the intellect of your, or of his personality, that man obviously has qualities to show. Not because he wants to show off, but because that's what he is. So there are certain qualities in the character that he develops. And these qualities, when actually imitated by us, resembled by us, I mean, when we try to not to copy their behavior, but when we try to get inspiration from people who are self-realized and show all these qualities, what will happen is that we are stepping towards our own true nature, because, as I always say, there are two poles, the negative and the positive. When you go towards the negative, the wall between you and God gets thick. Therefore, when you complain, when you start finding faults on anything, when you always get angry, when you're fear and anxious, when you have fear and you're anxious, then this wall is getting thicker because you're getting onto the negative side. You will see in those moments that you will not be able to listen to the voice of inspiration, to the voice of the Spirit, to the voice of God. But if you move on to the positive side, then that walls, those walls start to become thinner and thinner and thinner. Inspiration comes in, the voice of God speaks louder, you are more in tune with your spirit, you know where you're going, you feel life has a meaning, your visions start to be prophetic. Because you start stepping beyond the mind. So this is why it is important, why we are still in duality, where we express the plus and minus, when there is plus, the male and female qualities, intuition and reason. And we're talking about qualities here, okay? Intuition and reason, it is really important to go towards the positive side, the positive expression of it, because that will allow, it is in here, the key to make that wall thinner until you get totally in touch with the divine. You get imbued, get sync with the divine, and then the duality, the positive and negative sides, will totally disappear. There will seem waves of the same energy. These two states of seeming, you know, the dual state and the non-dual state, are coexisting and one. Therefore, when people say, I want to be only non-dual, I'm not, it's okay, because obviously they are one. The dual state and the non-dual state, they are one. Therefore, being one, they cannot be separated. Therefore, it's non-dual. That's okay. But you live. If you go beyond the philosophy for a moment, and you go to the experience of it, you live at the same time in the non-dual world and in the dual world. Therefore, you have to deal with the dual world in a positive way in order to be able to live in the dual world. And people would say to me, oh, this is not... Some non-dual people, which I have great admiration for. But anyway, they would say, no, you don't need to do that. You just don't have... Well, I say, that also is... the acquisition of a point of view, of an idea that ultimately needs to be abandoned. Just relax, just live in the non-dual and in the dual at the same time. Now, what are these divine qualities? There are 26, they are quite a lot. So therefore, here we're not talking about yama and niyama, like the 8, the 10 qualities in the 8 steps of Patanjali. Here we're talking about only the divine qualities that a man expresses when he starts to be in touch with God, with the divine. And these things are both things that are that come as second nature to the man who is in touch with the divine, but also are qualities that we need to work on in order to get in touch with the divine. Therefore, they are like a bridge. Your character, your attitudes are like the bridge towards the divine. So let's start listing them and explaining what they really are. So the first one, and if you have a Bhagavad Gita, go to the chapter 16 and you will find them there. The first one is fearlessness. There is a need in this world, obviously, to release fear in the path of life. If you live by fear, there is a contraction in the heart, and the heart cannot open. And the heart, we will see later, is the next ground, is the ground through which you build a spiritual life. Because we have chakras within ourselves. We have the first chakra, which is at the base of the spine, which is related to the element of earth, and that is the grounding for this world. But also is the grounding, once you achieve the grounding of the heart, then the new element, the earth element, becomes being stable in your path, being disciplined, being stable in your path, having that quiet of saintly presence, that kind of beautiful light presence around you. You know, all the three lower chakras that are the Saturn chakra at the base of the spine, the Jupiter chakra around the sacral area, and the Mars chakra on around the belly bottom. These three are the three chakras that are related to this world, accomplishments that you're going to have in this world. But when you step onto the heart chakra, then you have a new beginning, because all the accomplishments you had to have, it's already done. Therefore, there's no accomplishment anymore. We're going to talk about this a little bit later as well. And you're centered in the heart. From this level on, this is your grounding level, and you start growing from the throat chakra, the spiritual eye center, which is divided in two, the moon and the sun. And then once the sun is fully activated, once the moon is totally offered into the sun, then there's a new path opening to the infinite. When the chakra of the heart, which is the Venus chakra, is your new grounding level, then from the lowest chakra we see beautiful new qualities coming up. It is important to know, because the heart is also the center of courage. Fear comes, we have to remember, as an instinct of survival or preservation. Therefore, it has to do with dealing with this world, with dealing with survival, which is about the first chakra. When one has fear, he has the first chakra imbalanced and the chakra of the heart contracted. Okay? So we need to release that. How do you do that? Well, obviously that's a matter of consciousness. First of all, the first thing you can do is to detach yourself from the limitation of the body consciousness, so you know that there's no problem in survival or preservation. Because we know that we will exist beyond the body. This is why it is important to start meditating right now, to start meditating, to bring the mind beyond the body. That does not mean that you say, no, the body is not good, like many people in the spiritual path say. Your spiritual life includes the body. The only problem is when you get stuck in it. It's that simple. Therefore, when you start meditating and you go deeper into yourself, then you go with your consciousness beyond the body, and when you go to beyond the body, you will know that there's something within you, there's something in you that exists beyond the body, and when that happens, at that point, you start saying to yourself, well, there's nothing to fear about. I don't have to hold on to things. So you start a sort of a detachment, because you see your consciousness is expanding. Now, fearlessness also comes by knowing that we will have other opportunities, and our life is not finished if a no of some kind manifests. This is really important. We're always dealing with the first three chakras. The four are the Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars. Because this is really important. It's one of the most important concepts. We think that what we're living is it. After that, nothing will ever happen. If something goes wrong, we feel like, for a moment, we feel like approaching death. Think about it. Deep into your subconscious, you feel that. Therefore, if you start facing life with a different attitude, saying, I know that I will have more opportunities that will appear if this is a no. So you will not have fear of losing anything. You know that you keep on living. The thought of keeping on living is one of the most predominant thoughts you should have to overcome fear. It is really important. What is God? God is pure life. Loving God gives a higher consciousness and a great sense of protection because it's pure life. It's the pure life within you. And the more you love God, the more God enters in you. Not because it's not there already, but only by love, the little beautiful spot of God that you can perceive right now will expand to the point that will take the upper hand over all the negative feelings. And here I'm talking seriously. I'm not talking about you saying, God, this is my misery, and complaining all the time or saying something against your life. No, I'm talking about you totally abandoning yourself unconditionally to God, to the higher self within you. And let me tell you, you can be of any religion you want, but you don't need a religion. God is not belonging to any religion. God is, full stop. Then religion is being created, their institution created at the beginning to try to keep the word of God, to try to keep his teachings, to try people to follow the word of God and certain the teachings of God together so that men could be stronger in following them. But most of them, in certain situations, in certain points, at certain points, have become institutions that are not preserving the love of God, not transferring the love of God, but they are trying to hold the power on. So be careful on that. And remember, when fear starts coming into your life because of a religious practice or because of a religious organization, that is the moment to move away in that spot, on that spot, because that is totally the opposite of a quality of a divine man. So let's move on, because we have many qualities to talk about, and I will try to be a little shorter, but the first one is one of the most important, fearlessness. Obviously, from here, then we go on and we see the purity of art, and these things are connected, because you see, you have the purity of art. That means once you can be able to feel not fear anymore, then your heart becomes pure. And then the heart becomes pure when it's a pure reflection of the loving feeling of God. There are no self-motives, no personal expectations, just pure expression of the pure feeling glowing from your heart. There is no you in there. When you start feeling living from the heart center, you start connecting with everyone because there is a sense of union in life, because you have accomplished what already you should have accomplished, because that is something that you have to do with the first three chakras. Now you are on the heart chakra, you have accomplished it before you start communing with other people. Because you are able to listen to them. Because you don't have any more the kind of strong desire within you to accomplish something with your life at any cost. Okay. So there is a sense of union with life. No malice or judgment for anyone's condition. Okay. You see, what this judgment is coming from the fact that we want to feel that we are right on our path. Therefore, we start judging. But if you know that you're absolutely right for yourself, if you know that everything is perfect already, there's no reason to judge anyone. And I'm not saying that you should do as somebody else, taken in anger, says, but there's no need for judgment. Okay? Everything seems to be accomplished in the pure, godly heart feeling. The purity of heart comes from that moment that you start reflecting the love of God, that pure feeling that you feel deep in meditation, once you perceive something greater, the law of the universe operating, the universe himself talking to you, you vibrating with it, and you start reflecting through your heart and loving, because you want to love this greater thing, this greater intelligence with which you are a part of, okay? And when you start reflecting that with purity, the purity wins with no fluctuations of your own self-motives and no expectations, then you have purity of heart. And the great, great saints of all religions have shown that they have lived in this way. Another quality of the divine man is perseverance, being able to persevere with what needs to be accomplished. And here we talk about something that needs to be accomplished and not something that you want to accomplish because you're selfish, because that is it and this is my life or whatever, even though it goes against you, against your own interest. And what is the difference of? The difference is the perseverance is not stubbornness. It's not being stubborn, because being stubborn does not include self-analysis. It does not include self-improvement. It does not include a re-examination of the situation. So you need to commit to accomplish a worthy goal while improving yourself in the process. That is perseverance, changing your mind, being able to change your mind upon erroneous ideas, something that is wrong. You've seen that you've taken a way that is not correct. Therefore, you're not stubborn on it. You say, okay, these are the qualities I need to improve in order to get there. And this is perseverance. And of course, you can use these qualities for anything you want to achieve in life, because you're starting to spiritualize your own self. And letting spiritualize doesn't mean you become someone else. Becomes you. You become you at the highest possible potential. Also, it involves the will of abandoning your own mind for the higher mind in the process of accomplishment. Therefore, there is a transformation involved. The more you start going towards something, the more you align yourself with the higher mind behind this accomplishment. Therefore, the goal can slightly change, the path can slightly change to get there, and you can slightly change to get there. There's a transformation involved in the right kind of perseverance. Okay? You grow with it. You evolve. Then we have sattvic charity. This is another quality. We have three gunas in this world, tamas, rajas, and sattva. Tamas is the darkness. Rajas is the heat. And sattva is the divine, the most beautiful, harmonious, divine expression of God on the earth. Something that is really harmonious and in balance, let's say. So, what do we mean for sattvic charity? It means just being of presence and support where your help is needed. Applying the law of giving so that there is a void that is created in order for you to receive. Following this concept, to help yourself while helping others. In other words, if you're all one, you start helping somebody else, but you know that you're helping yourself at the same time. Because something is happening within you, something is happening within your soul, and if you're all connected, if you're all at one, at some deep level, you're actually helping yourself. For most people, it's difficult because we are used to think of ourselves as separate entities. But also, if you think yourself a separate entity, then just understand there's a law in the universe that as you give, you create a void that needs to be filled. And that is one of the factors for abundance. Because it's the flow that will start getting in. So do not leave a sense of obligation to the other when you start giving. This is really important. Try to give as possible in secret and silently, because you don't want to have the reward for that person only. Okay? You want to have the reward, if you want a reward, from the universe. Your dialogue must be between you and the universe, not you and the other person there. The other person there is just an instrument for you to create this flow. And it's a blessing for your life. Otherwise, everything would stagnate. So, maybe you could give an idea to the other on how that person can give too, and that's okay. Either to you or in general. Or even as a service to the world. In this case, what you're doing is you are teaching indirectly how to give by your own example. Okay, let's move on and let's talk about another divine quality of the divine man. And this divine quality is self-restraint. Now, self-restraint is not self-punishment. This is really important to understand. It's not that you have to try to limit your experience in any way. It's not that you have to torture yourself under any circumstance. It is not self-punishment. It is not getting involved. This is what it is. It is not getting involved with the flow of energy that directs you away from the awareness of your soul and spirit. Okay, let me repeat it again. It is the ability to not get involved with the flow of energy that directs you away from the awareness of your soul and spirit. There is a flow of energy that we have to resist. We have to resist that current. But this also means that we need to live everything fully by its essence. It doesn't mean that we have to live a life flat. It means we have to live fully by its essence. If this cannot yet be accomplished, then bring your memory back after an event and leave that event from your essence again. Interiorize it. In other words, we find ourselves when something happens totally involved with the situation to the point that we forget ourselves, which is also it's different from self-forgetfulness, which has to do with humility. We're going to talk about that later. But today, here, now, in this moment, we're talking about self-restraint. When do you get involved into something that you're doing? Basically, there is that flow of energy that directs all the energy within you outward. And that is necessary because you have to experience the world. But if you throw away out your awareness of the self as well, then you're going to start losing yourself because you're going to just be a victim of the ups and downs. And I'm not saying that you should not live the ups and downs, only live them with the awareness of your own self, and there will be difference. There will be pleasant instead of being a great problem. So what is important to do is you remember, if you find yourself that you are totally unaware during the day, you're totally a slave of the circumstances, that you cannot control anything, that you feel a victim of the circumstances, that you are dragged here and there from all circumstances, then, after that, don't judge the situation, just accept it as it is in that moment. You go, you close yourself into a room, and then you go back with your memory, and you start reliving that kind of experience you had without judging anything. Even an emotion, if you had an emotion, you don't think, you don't give to that emotion too much energy. You just stay there and you just witness that experience again in your memories, as if you were watching a movie, okay? But at that moment, you interiorize it. You go back within yourself, you watch a movie, and you understand that you can live with awareness that experience from its essence. And the more you do this, the more you will see that you will be able to stay aware even when that something happens, Okay? So this practice, in fact, brings great self-control and awareness of the energy and life around you. And this is what it is also, this has to do also with true sacrifice. In other words, avoid the perdition of yourself. This is what perdition is about. Perdition is about losing sight of your own true self. Okay? So avoid with true sacrifice the perdition in your own mental waves. They will bring you to incredible ups and downs and lose control and serenity over your life. So this is what self-restraint is about, to resist that current that pushes you out and makes you lose consciousness and awareness of yourself. Therefore, when something happens, interiorize it after that happened and understand what are the energies at play. Witness it. Even if it's later, does not matter. This will bring self-control and awareness. Let's move on. Another divine qualities of the divine man is the performance of the sacred rites, rituals. But these rituals, we have to understand that they are not external ritual, ultimately. I mean, the external ritual will help, yes, it can. But the main thing happens internally. The rites are mainly internal. One identifies his life with a universal symbol, active in their own soul in order to change circumstances, gain awareness, and evolve materially, mentally, and spiritually. There's a change on. In other words, you do the sacred rites and you use universal symbols in order to bring yourself from a level to another level, to provoke a change. This is called alchemy of the soul, to turn your soul into the gold of God present within you. And the best sacred rite, in fact, is the self-offering of yourself to God or to the universal intelligence, the highest self. Also, the offering of the small self, therefore, into the highest self, that spark of the universe that works within you and direct all your life system. That presence within you, towards which you have to offer yourself, is present in you and it directs all your life. It is the director of your life. If you want to be the director of your life for real, then you have to bring your awareness to that level. Again, this is what true sacrifice is about, divine direction of energy towards one single divine point. Now, this is why Jesus said the road to God is narrow, because all the energy needs to be directed towards one thing, towards the perception of something subtle and one. Once you're there, you will see that you could have not done otherwise. If you don't sacrifice during this internal ritual, all the energy that tends to go randomly here and there into one point, you cannot get to the essence, okay? Now, another of the qualities of the divine man is study of the scripture. Now, the scripture here, we have to study the real words of God, and we have to understand the scriptures needs to be of massive importance and very well recognized by the whole world as a text of true spirituality. It is really important because there can be some kind of religions that are not, not totally recognized, but that's okay. I mean, if they would talk to you, I don't want to go into a judgment of anything. I think you should go and see what works for you. But try to get in tune. Try to get in tune also, especially, include all the scriptures that are recognized as true text of spirituality. And try to attune your consciousness to them. The more you read them, the more you will feel that you start vibrating. Your thoughts will start vibrating in a certain different ways. You will have a different feeling. That's when you start having a direct experience of the scripture. And this is really important. Don't let people who are stuck in their ego power to tell you what the scripture is about. Try to develop that intuition that will allow you to have a direct experience of the scripture. Also, yes, listening to the wise is really important. But most importantly, absorb even just a little of the scriptures and transform your life accordingly to what you read, to what you absorb. Let's go on. Self-discipline. This is another quality. And we have the self-discipline gets developed through self-analysis and self-observation. It is never, never extreme. It is toward balance in everything, including the common necessities of the body. You cannot neglect your body. You cannot neglect your mind. You cannot neglect your necessities. It is never extreme. Let me say that again. It is towards the balance of your own self, towards balance in everything, including the common necessities of the body. In fact, there are certain kind of practices that mostly in India have been done that are called tapas, and people get tortured themselves, and I think that's totally unnecessary. And I'm not the only one who thinks that. And I really think it's not necessary. They're missing the point. They're just being violent at themselves. Okay? So just go towards balance. And it means, what balance means is adhering as much as possible to the point zero through will and commitment. The point zero is the point where the two opposites meet. There's perfect balance there. It means avoiding situations where you lose sight of your true self. If you don't lose sight, then you can do it. But be honest with yourself. Honesty is so much important. Can you be honest? Can you say, I'm not going to lose sight of myself and I'm going to do that thing? If you can, that's great. Now, if not, or even if you cannot be honest, you know, then ask yourself what your values are in universal terms and principles. Then discipline yourself around those values to adhere to them in balance. Another quality of the divine man is straightforwardness. Straightforwardness is getting to the cream, to the heart of things with the eyes of wisdom. Going directly there without getting distracted by external or other words around you. And it never means being rude, okay? Some people, well, I'm straightforward. No, that's being rude. Being straightforward means getting to the heart of things with the eyes of wisdom. And try to get into the truth of everything. That does not involve judgment for the other person. For example, some people say, well, I can get to the truth of this person, therefore I see that this person is really bad. That's not it. Getting in tune with the truth and then see if what is manifesting there is either going to help you to stay in touch with your own self or take you away from it, okay? And you don't have to judge anybody. It is very much connected to the purity of the heart. Because at that point, you're just connecting unconditionally with people. Okay? You're getting to the heart of things. When you develop enough heart purity, that means that you also are able to penetrate to the heart of anything. You don't have to wait for somebody to tell you to go deep into that. Because you're already ready, you have already taken the clutter out of your heart, you can go deep down into the center. Another quality is harmlessness. And this is the kind of non-doing successful attitude. It comes with harmonious attunement with the accomplished peace of the universe. In other words, it is being dynamically passive and passively dynamic. You start to welcome people in and not being sorry if they go. You just not try to keep them. You're watching and living life with quiet and simple awareness. That's what it is. Then another quality is truthfulness. That means obviously adhering to truth. Truth comes with the perception of one's own true being beyond what life shows us. Being in tune with the reality of things without manipulating them. It also means overcoming the desire for life to be different than it is now. Okay, working with life, with what it is. Then one can change life. That's fine, because it has something to work on. Because it starts working with life, with what life is, instead of working with what one wishes it would be. No, you're working with a substance that is actually there. Another quality is freedom from anger. Okay? To be free from anger, one needs to abandon expectation from others or from the circumstances to be as you want them to be. You have to abandon all your expectation from other people, from the circumstances, because they are not a copy of your own self. They're not a copy of you. So when you start releasing expectations, then what will happen? There's nothing to be angry about. It is serene acceptance of what is. Whatever it is, knowing that when one is established in pure awareness, everything is perfect. There is no fight with reality. There is no fight with life. Only an aware flow of everything. Anger, as shown by divine virtue, like for example Jesus did in the temple. You have to understand, that kind of anger can be a virtue, but is performed as a virtue only by fully realized being who mastered wisdom. It can live fully from the higher centers of consciousness, from the sun center, the sun chakra on the forehead. In this case, if that's the case like Jesus was, that seeming anger is divine energy, which is directed towards the good of everyone. Okay? If one hasn't achieved that state, then should abandon such manifestations of energy, because it's so easy to get back down, to get back down and lose sight of yourself. And when there's a lot of power in the energy that is directed, then if you lose sight of yourself, you can go really, really down, because the energy is powerful. Another divine quality is renunciation, and then comes in tune with perfect sacrifice. First of all, when you see something worthy in your life, you renounce everything that is distracting, everything that does not serve, and you go towards that point with great intensity. Now, renunciation of the ego is what we need, and that part of the mind that identifies with limiting perceptions, that identify with your legal self, and even with your body, with the sense of separation, that part of the mind and that part of your soul that identifies with your perception. So that's the renunciation. Renunciation of having that part of the mind, the ego, having the upper hand on you. That is what it's all about, because the ego will not die. Even when you realize your self-awareness, you will watch yourself, but you will see that you are much more, but then it will be still present there. It's total abandonment also to God, without holding back. When you sit, you close your eyes, you feel the presence, until you feel the presence of the universal intelligence there, of God, both personal and impersonal. You start offering yourself totally. It doesn't matter what your life is about, doesn't matter what you're about. Just totally offer yourself up, and you will see that you will not lose anything. You're giving away your life to receive life. This is what Jesus also meant. Those who will lose the life shall gain it. This also has to do with humility, self-forgetfulness. This is what it means, being able to let go of what you're about, what your life is about, what you thought you were about, and offering it up. That's true humility. Humility is not being subservient, not being under a carpet of somebody else. Okay? Then another quality is tranquility. The ability to remain centered and calm under all circumstances. This again comes by detachment from the manifestations of the ways of the ups and downs of life. One should know that since duality governs this manifested world, things shall pass. So you are able to remain centered and calm under all circumstances because you know this thing too shall pass. Nothing is permanent. The true tranquil man is centered in the higher self. Let's move on to the next quality, absence of fault-finding and calumny. Things can always be improved, but it is much better to have a solution-oriented mind and, again, acceptance of world reality as it is, without trying to manipulate it. It is part of this quality. One should not feel his own small reality as superior to another one, as everything is equal in front of God. All waves are just waves, made of exactly the same substance, God's consciousness. Calumny derives from the desire to be taller by cutting somebody's head. It is a condition of misery we as humans are subjected to. We should just try to give up all these things. We should try to understand, to direct our mind towards solutions and toward understanding that everything is finally made of the same substance. Remember the saying, also, what we see in other, we have in ourselves. So the true self-knowledge, therefore, knowing about God's overall perfection, acceptance, and truthfulness are what is needed. And let's move on, because we're approaching the end of this show, but I would like to say quickly all of these qualities. Then we have compassion towards all beings, and this comes when our own selfish accomplishments are put on the side. Then we recognize the value of all other beings and can communicate and empathize with them. This is compassion, being empathizing with them, at the same time with a great desire to help. Great. This is taken also from a definition on a dictionary, a famous dictionary, which I don't remember the name. That a great saints know that there is nothing to accomplish. They're moving from the level of the heart. There is a new heart center for them. Okay? Compassion forms the ground through which that spiritual man, a spiritual divine man, plants his roots into a firm evolution in spirit. Another quality of the divine man is non-covetousness, absence of greed, and it comes through being grounded in one's inner joys. If you are totally grounding your inner joy, there's nothing to be greedy about. Because you know that everything outside will be impermanent, will not give you whatever you're having right now. Then the flowing of impermanence of the world loses its grip on your mind. Let's move on. Next one, gentleness. And here, this one again comes naturally, as one patiently witnesses life in all its phases. Patience brings gentleness. Such a witness attracts the love and care of people as well. And being gentle also means never disturbing a person's evolution without interfering with his free will under any circumstance, either by forcing them to do what they don't want to do, or by trying to manipulate that person so that it's going to do what you want and not what they want, against their own will, okay? Gentleness is part of this concept. Modesty, another quality, comes in balance between shame and dignity of the self. With the right kind of shame, one is able to improve oneself because he's ashamed of what he did, of some bad qualities he has. So he wants to improve that is the right kind of shame. But also, right kind of dignity doesn't make you become subservient or feeling inferior, okay? Then we have the absence of restlessness. This is another quality. And this is the ability of the calm mind to avoid useless endeavors and activities. Doing what's needed and ability to prioritize are some of the benefits of a mind with absence of restlessness. You are able to prioritize. You are able to do what's needed, really. Also, this is a way, not having restlessness is the best way, one of the best ways to accumulate energy, to gain energy, to build energy within yourself, since the energy is not randomly wasted. Let's move on. Radiance of character. This is another quality of the divine man. Radiance of character mainly manifests as a consequence of the divine grounding, emanating presence like a beautiful, powerful rock, which is strong in nature, but also gentle and elevating. It has two forces. One is directing towards grounding. One is directing towards elevation. Gently, towards gentle, unnaturally high ideals. And the true character of a person starts showing naturally as a counter effect of his spiritual progress. We have almost finished. We have a couple more. We have forgiveness. And forgiveness enables us to break old cycles. It's absolutely necessary. And I talked about this quality before. When you forgive somebody, the old cycle interrupts. It doesn't have to repeat again because it doesn't have the power to repeat itself. Nothing to grab on. Okay? Forgiveness is, first of all, to happen internally, not necessarily with the person or people involved. It's really important to know because you might be able to forgive somebody, but that person might not be able to forgive you. Therefore, there's a dialogue going on. There's a problem going on. You're not going to sort out the problem if you try to go to that person. You have to understand. That cycle is happening in your own soul, after all, in your own soul system, and that's where it ultimately has to be solved. Okay? Then we have patience and fortitude. This is another quality. And another of the qualities of the divine man. A patient person is protected from all storms of life because perfect balance is achieved through peace and centered patience. There's nothing. There's one of the affirmations that Yogananda says, I'm unshakable in the midst of clash of breaking worlds. And this is patience. Patience creates fortitude. Therefore, one understands God beyond everything because all the storms of life cannot affect you. The power at the source that manifests our reality, then it's obvious. It's there. You're just a witness of everything. A true patient person, having achieved such an awareness, will lately develop the power to manifest at will by patiently resting his mind, resting his consciousness into the new reality he wants. So he starts to integrate harmlessness and patience with awareness to manifest a new life. Huh? We have the last three. Calmness of body and purity of mind. This is a connection between the body and mind, and this connection also affects energy. This is the way yoga posture, this is why yoga posture is so effective in this sense. Stillness of the body brings stillness of the mind, and the mind is able to reflect perfectly the greater mind or greater intelligence without the filters of the fluctuating intellect. Huh? Then another quality, non-hatred, the ability and commitment to see God in all. The exercise, Equanimity of Arts, that I have written on the Golden Jewel book, one of my books, and that is the one that you can download for a very low amount of money on my website, www.joycelestial.com. This is an exercise that will help you to develop non-hatred, to develop union with the heart of all, and start accepting people and circumstances for what they simply are. Again, really important. And the last one, lack of conceit. which is lack of pride, humility, self-forgetfulness. Humility is not putting yourself under a carpet, as I said, but it's self-forgetfulness, forgetfulness of the ego. It comes with contentment also and self-satisfaction. One is happy for what he is and for what he has, without attachment to things, but resting gently in the essence of himself. As one forgets, but not take one for granted, not take yourself, as you forget about yourself, but you don't have to take yourself for granted, your worldly appearance. You have to forget your worldly appearance more and more. How you come out in this world, in your form, more and more, as you rest in your inner joy. True humility comes natural, and it develops harmony with the all. After all, what is it that you possess, really, when you will die? Nothing will come with you. It will be only you and your soul. Not cars, not even the image of yourself and the world you are holding, but the infinite soul emanated by God's power residing at the essence of the awareness of your being. Thank you for listening. Visit me on my website, www.joycelestial.com. Sorry for the cold I had today, but this is the beauty of the radio. We're always here present to deliver, to share, to discuss. And thank you so much for listening. See you next time, next Saturday, on bbsradio.com, station 1, 10 p.m. Thank you. Goodbye.